So tickt Berlin. Dein Podcast von und mit Nikolai Tegeler.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von So tickt Berlin. Und ihr werdet es kaum glauben, ich bin immer noch in Hamburg, immer noch im Apartmenthaus und heute ist ein wirklich grauer, kalter Tag. Mensch, mitten im Sommer, das ist wirklich traurig. Ich hoffe, euch geht's besser da draußen. Mein Gast heute ist ein Beatles-Mitglied, denn wir spielen ja immer noch hier in Hamburg am St. Pauli Theater oder im St. Pauli Theater auf der Reeperbahn. Und mein heutiger Gast ist ein großartiger Musiker. Er spielt exzellent Gitarre, er arbeitet am Klavier, er hat eine unglaublich tolle Stimme. Er guckt mich gerade an und versteht kein Wort Deutsch. Er hat im Laufe seiner Zeit mit verschiedenen hoch angesehenen Jazzgrößen wie zum Beispiel Joe Sample oder David Sanborn gearbeitet. Er veröffentlichte unter anderem 2 Soloalben und spielte Konzerte mit Gastauftritten unter anderem von Glenn Frey, John Oates und Buddy Miles, right? Zudem tourte er in Pit Bands mit Broadway-Shows wie Showboat oder Oklahoma. Und er ist quasi überall zu Hause, wo man ihn trifft. Normalerweise wohnt er aber in Las Vegas. Welcome, Howard Arthur.
Hi, Nico. How you doing, man?
What a pleasure. Finally, you're the last Beatle I was looking for, because otherwise I have everyone right from the show and put it into my podcast. So welcome, Howard.
Well, I'm glad I finally can do it for you, Nico.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Thank you so much. I already asked you because I didn't know what is a pit band?
Yeah, it's when there's a band in the orchestra pit,
yeah,
for a play or for a, like for some of the big stars I've worked with, they have the big band lined up behind them, you know, and that's, you're reading the music and playing their show.
Oh, wow.
You know, on guitar. That's what I've done quite a bit of.
Howard Arthur, you named after a haircut from the Beatles.
What do you call that
haircut?
Arthur.
Arthur. It's a joke in our show, right? I like that. And the audience liked it as much.
They always laugh at my name. What is that?
Could you believe it?
I can't.
Howard, yes. Could you tell us a bit about you grew up in America. Where?
In Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Actually, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, if anybody is familiar with the area.
Yeah.
And very, nice community. My parents were kind of lower middle class, you know, but we had a lot of fun and did a lot of cool things growing up. Yeah.
And what brought you to the music? I mean, you're an excellent guitar player. You have an unbelievable voice.
There was a lot of music in our family, just amateur.
Uh-huh.
My great grandfather was he was a professional trumpet player.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was in St. Louis Park. He headed up the band there and stuff. And as I was growing up, we would spend every Sunday at my great grandfather's house with my great grandmother. And he would teach me stuff on the ukulele when I was like 5 years old.
No.
Yeah.
You can play ukulele?
It's similar to guitar.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah.
Cool.
So, 5'2", eyes of blue was the first thing I learned on the ukulele. From there, I actually took piano lessons because my grandmother mm-hmm. Played piano. Mm-hmm. And so she got me piano lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I played drums mm-hmm. through high school.
Really?
I did that. So I was a drummer. And and then I always had bands. And I actually did my first road gig when I was 13.
13?
13, went on the road with some...
Small Britain.
With some 18-year-old guys. Yeah, so I'm still on the road. That's what we do. But my parents actually let me go with these older guys and play at a ski resort when I was 13, yeah.
Where? In Espen?
No, it was Ironwood, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so, okay.
And that's when I got really serious about the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
took some lessons from a guy by the name of Mike Elliott, who was kind of the top jazz guitarist in Minneapolis. And he took me under his wing, and just, by the time I was 15, I was professional playing, and I was in the musicians union, and I was covering for him on his gig at the top of the Hilton Hotel every Monday night. He took the night off and let me go in and play for him when I was 15.
You earned your first money with
Well, actually, when I was 13, we used to pass the hat at the parties, and that's how I bought my first guitars. I paid for them myself.
Unbelievable. This is quite cool. I mean, this is really cool. So this is where we where everything started, and your parents were always right behind you. They liked the
idea. Very supportive. Very supportive.
Cool. So have you, do you have siblings or?
Yes, I have an older brother.
Okay.
He also plays guitar, not professionally, but, and then I have two younger sisters.
Are they doing music as well?
My youngest sister did a lot of music. She's very talented.
Okay.
Mostly with church groups and stuff like that. Never really professionally, but.
And how long you're spending in the music industry right now? I mean, you.
How long have I been doing it?
I mean, you started with 15.
Yeah, add it up.
But you look like 48.
Yes, and I'm actually 24. So I've only been doing about 10 years.
Okay, that's a little lie, but
it's a big lie.
Wow. Okay, but it's a long, long time, right?
Yes, a long.
So you just started as a musician when you were 15.
Yes, and it's all I've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few odd jobs here and there, but I've always been able to maintain my lifestyle with the music business.
Yeah. What is your secret? I mean.
Luckily in Minneapolis, because I was with that guitar teacher, he opened all the doors for me. I mean, I immediately was playing for big name people when I wasn't even 20 years old yet. He was handing me all that.
And you're talented.
Well, that helped,
The right time, the right place.
I made sure when I was, with him, when I was 15, every guitar lesson I went to, I made sure I impressed him, and that worked in my favor. he recommended me for everything.
Really? So he liked you very much?
He was like a second father.
Oh, really?
Really was, yeah.
So kind of father and agent?
In a way, yeah.
In a way, yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay.
But that's how our industry works anyway, word of mouth, who's good, who can do this, what, blah, blah, blah,
So, I mean, you're a lucky guy. This is unbelievable because normally, I mean, this is you were on the right place, lots of luck, and you're talented. I mean, this is the three factors come together. Like, I mean, this is so hard. I mean, there's so many other musicians around, and they are maybe quite talented as well. So, but you're a lucky guy. I mean, you're so long in this business.
Yeah, well, I think those years of really trying hard and learning how to play a step up from other people, kind of learning jazz and being able to read music and stuff like that, it just it's what helped with everything, and still helps,
So, and then you worked with a lot of really famous musicians as well. So this is what it started, because of your guitar teacher. He opened up all the doors, and you met such names like David Sanborn, John Oates, Buddy Miles, Glenn Frey, Joe Sample. The list is unbelievable. Glenn Miller Orchestra, Donny and Mary Osborne in Las Vegas. How was that? I mean, you were really young, and you met these guys. How was this co-working ship together?
I think as you get out in the world of musicians. Mm-hmm. You do a good job for one person, and then they recommend you for someone else, And luckily, I was able to impress enough people when I was young enough that I kept getting recommended for things. And then I started singing, which really helped because then I was a guitar player who could sing.
Yeah.
And then my piano lessons came in handy later, you know, like you see in our show, you know, I play.
And we will come later to
and harmonica.
Wow. But how was it? I mean, you were a young musician and then you met these guys. Was this a good co-working space? Were they nice to you? Or like, you know, if you met a young musician and you get something around 60 and you're an old guy in that business, and then there comes up a young musician with a revolution heart and, hey, here we come. And how was that?
I mean, well, it was a time when there were a lot of bands. And the guys that I was working with, they were like 18, 19 years old when I was 13. And I didn't, not to brag, but I actually played better than they did.
Oh, wow.
When I was that age. So they respected me.
Oh, cool.
And they let me play the solos and stuff like that, you know. And then as I got older, then I started getting in with more of the jazz people and stuff. And then I learned a lot from the, you know, like the older, more seasoned jazz musicians, you know.
And do you have an advice for younger musicians? What could they do to get a feet in the door?
The time has changed, you know. Back then, I would go to my, there was an agent in Minneapolis, and when I had bands, I would go there in December, and he would set me up with nightclubs through the whole year until the next year. And then I'd go in every December, and so I had, you know, 5-6 nights a week, always.
Wow.
It's much different now. So it I think it would be much more difficult for a person. Now I think it's more people get known by doing their music online. You know, they do videos and put them on YouTube, and so I think that's maybe more where it's heading these days. But it's to make a living at it, I'm not sure how that would work unless they know how to be a Beatle.
Howard, what is your secret? What keeps you moving on? I mean, even as a self-employed musician, all these years, what is your? I mean, there are, of course, you still have good days, and then there, of course, there will be bad days.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah,
it really is. It's
this
up and
is life,
down,
right?
Yeah. Well, and on our business too.
Yeah. But what is your secret? What keeps you moving?
I love music. I try to keep a positive attitude.
Yeah.
I make sure to network when I need to, you know, we all do. And this one friend of mine puts it like this. He said, he'll see some young person who is talented, and he goes, oh boy, they've got the curse.
Oh.
And once you have it, there's no turning back. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're just, you know, once, if you have a certain level of talent, it's like there's, I don't know how to do anything else, and I'm glad that I'm still able to do what I do.
What was the biggest thing back then, or maybe now, what you did as a musician?
The biggest thing?
Yeah.
Well, one highlight, of course, I did a weekend with David Sanborn, and trading solos with him. I don't know if you're familiar with David Sanborn, but he's played on almost everybody's album, had his career as a jazz fusion guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was on a lot of the famous shows in Minneapolis, or not in Minneapolis, but in the States.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
He was on there a lot. He was on the David Letterman show a lot. And he had his own TV show for a while.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
But he's just that level.
Wow.
Rest in peace. He did pass away, but that was just recently. He did it like this in the last year. But That was a highlight of my life, and I have to thank my buddy Ricky Peterson, mm-hmm. who played with him for many years, mm-hmm. and he got me in there, so I could do that with him. That's a highlight. I think playing on Joe Sample's album mm-hmm. was another mm-hmm. big thing for me. Mm-hmm. I played on his Ashes to Ashes album.
Wow,
and there's a song called Born to Be Bad. The only bad thing is my buddy Ricky's brother also played guitar on there. And when they did the credits, the song that I played on, they didn't put my name on. So some people go, oh, sure you did, you know. But no, it's me, and I played that. Yeah, I know. Oh, it was a very sad moment when I got the album. And
this is a pity, huh?
And they messed up the name.
Definitely. I mean, so you're part of that, and then they don't recognize.
I know.
I mean, this is hard. Then you just, Sydney, you wrote on the song I See Them.
Yes.
From the movie The Wrestler.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
That was
interesting.
That was
1974. I was born in 78.
No, you're giving away my age now. No,
you sound much younger.
Yeah. So I was 23 then.
Yeah,
yes. And I had written a song, I See Them, and I was in a group, and we would perform this song. And the girl singer got a part in the movie.
Yeah.
And she wanted to sing that song.
Wow.
So she sang it in the movie, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, it was a B movie, you know, but
it's a movie.
But it's Ed Asner from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah.
He was a star, you know, and I made a deal with them. They didn't pay me a lot of money, but I said, make sure I'm in the credits. And the very, very final stop of the end of the film, my credits came up first.
Cool.
Yeah,
perfect. So. Yeah, of course. And you did two solo albums.
Yes.
Love is Hell and Howard Arthur in 2000. How was that? I mean, how?
I always have written original mm-hmm. music, and I had a stockpile of songs. Mm-hmm. And the first album, I actually found a backer when I lived in Aspen. Mm-hmm. Someone who got money from a bunch of different people. We recorded and mixed it at Paisley Park Prince's studio. And Ricky Peterson, my friend that I talked about earlier, he produced half of the album.
Ugh.
And then I produced the other half.
Okay.
And that was in 1992. That one was released. And we had a deal with, what's the name of it? Musicland.
Musicland.
Musicland, and I had a listening booth at Tower Records in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I got reviews. Janet Jackson's album came out at the same time as mine. Oh. And there were people on the trade magazines that gave me more stars than Janet Jackson's.
No.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
But the problem is we used all the money to make it, and we didn't save anything for
commercial
promoting it.
Promoting, yeah.
So, you know, we tried to get it to some famous people, and it just didn't go anywhere. But
this is the point. You just need, at one point, you need luck as well, right? It's just not always talent.
Luck and money.
Yeah.
A good backer.
Yeah. Like Brian Epstein, he was really lucky for the Beatles. I mean, otherwise, maybe they weren't this famous. Brian Epstein was a big stone for him.
And then the second one in 2000 was I was living in California and going through a difficult relationship, and it inspired me to write my second album.
Wow.
In 2000, yeah.
Wow. So, and then you just let me know that there was a most requested video on of the year in 2000 something like, no, 84,
when you
Love Me.
When You Love Me, yeah. I did a video. I had recorded it, and then I did a video.
Yeah.
And it just ended up being requested a lot.
Why?
That year. Yeah.
even before the internet come through. I mean, this is
it was a music video channel, just a lot like MTV, only it was local.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so people liked it.
Oh. What was your, I mean, you traveled a lot, you travel right now, and what is the, is there a venue you really still keep in your mind because it was so fantastic, the crowd was amazing, and is there?
The St. Pauli Theater.
Right now, okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right, it's good.
It's a good, yeah,
I,
good
point. I love it, yeah.
Okay, come to that point. I mean, you are you should play John Lennon.
Yes.
Since 2000, right? Is that true?
No.
In the Beatles show?
No, I started in Las Vegas in the Planet Hollywood. They had a show there, and that was in about 2010, I think I started.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, and then my first year in Germany was 2012.
2012, okay.
I started, yeah.
So this is in 2012, you met Bernard Kurtz, the producer of the show, All You Need Is Love.
Yes, yeah.
How was that? He came up to Las Vegas and found you, or?
No, well, it started in 2010.
Yeah.
I was in a top 40 band playing at the Paris Hotel in the main lobby.
Uh-huh.
And the producer of the Beatles show next door at Planet Hollywood was dancing with his girlfriend and saw me on stage. And he said, I think I can train you to be a John Lennon. And I'm like, what? I don't think I look like him. I don't know. What are you saying? You know, but he did. And so from there, there's a guy, Tony Kishman, who used to be in our show here. He came in and played with us in the Beatles show. And I mean, long story short, he's the one who got me introduced to Bernhard.
Ah, Tony Kishman.
Yeah.
So, but you survived and Tony Kishman has to quit, of course, for some reasons.
Yes, we don't need to get into that.
Of course.
Yes.
So, okay. So you're in the German version of the Beatles show, All You Need Is Love.
Yes, I love
it. Since 2012.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So, and you played almost everywhere with that show, right?
I know, right?
Could you tell me?
You have too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm part of the show since 2016. Yes. So I'm a young boy. I'm a virgin. but you were almost everywhere in Europe.
Yes.
You played in Hong Kong.
No, I didn't go to Hong Kong.
Okay.
I did go to Israel.
Oh, Israel, yeah.
That was an interesting one, yeah.
Oh, my, this is unbelievable.
I know. Yeah.
So could you ever imagine that you play John Lennon in a Beatles show? I mean, this is for that long term.
It never dawned on me until that guy saw me at the Paris Hotel. Yeah, you never know how it's going to work out.
And that's the reason why we met each other, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So when you come the first time to Berlin... when
that would have been 2012.
12, yeah.
At the Estrel Hotel, I did the summer at Stars in Concert there.
Oh wow,
the theater there.
How was your first impression of Berlin and Estrel and the whole district of Neukölln? Yeah, it could be.
It's I'm not in Kansas anymore. You know, definitely the language and the jet lag. Oh my goodness, it's 9 hours different from Las Vegas. So that was challenging, but I love it. You know, it was always great. Yeah.
And how was Berlin?
Plus, I love the Beatle music.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's
I grew up with it.
But tell me about your first impression of Berlin when you come in 2012. How was, because this podcast is named after Berlin, and it's...
I think the thing that sticks out in my mind the most is that some of the buildings were built before America was even a country, you know. It's just, and they're still up, and you know, architecture and stuff is it's amazing, you know. Plus, my grandmother was from Germany.
Oh, really? Where? You remember?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Big deal. Cool. So since 2012, and could you tell me, because I just started in 2016, what maybe changed in all these years in that show? I mean, this is more modern right now. I have the feeling it's really, we have a really tiny, little, nice, powerful show. It's not that, because I heard that the show used to be 3 hours and something like that.
That actually was before my time. Really? Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Carmine was telling me about that.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Our drummer. Yeah. Carmine. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so yeah, we will see what happened.
We did have one girl in the show for a while. Yeah, she was. She would come out and dance during the Tony Sheridan.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
With one of the actors.
This little small part.
Yeah.
Cool.
And well, and then we used to have girls come up during "All You Need Is Love" and do hold the signs and stuff like that too.
Yeah, okay, I like the idea.
I don't know.
So it will happen. What she, and maybe we will have a little hearing to one or three songs, and it's good. It's GEMA free. Yes. I don't have to pay because you recorded in your own studio, right?
Yes. Yeah. The one was recorded at Prince's studio, but it never really got released into the public, or no royalties are necessary.
Oh, this is so cool. So maybe you'll be excited, because I'm excited. We will listen to one of these. Maybe try this one.
This is When You Love Me. Wow.
You came into my life, and suddenly the hurt was gone. It's been so very showed me how to laugh, and loving you erased the past. Now all the hurt is gone. When you love me, everything is new. When you love me, all that matters is that I'm here with you. I'm so happy to be in love with you. You smiled at me and then no longer could my heart pretend. I knew I loved you.
This is so nice. It reminds me of kind of Dirty Dancing or something, you know, that's a bit 80s, but I really love the 80s, and it's perfect. So you produced the whole song?
That one was produced by Ricky Peterson. Yeah. He's doing all the lush string parts and stuff
that. How came, what was the idea of that song?
Happened, I had a rough relationship.
Yeah.
A bad breakup. Oh. And I wasn't feeling so good. And then I met someone new and she made me feel much better.
So sweet. And that's cool.
There it is.
Let's listen to another song. I mean, if someone is interested in you, I can Google you, or is there a Spotify account, or where I can find these nice songs? Not right now.
In my living room.
So you need to come to Hamburg now?
They need to be released again, I guess. We tried before, and I guess I just sort of haven't followed through. I've been busy being a Beatle with you.
Oh, yeah. And let's listen to one of your examples here. It's another song by Howard Arthur. Ooh, this one's like Thriller. Michael Jackson. Ooh.
very 80s.
I mean, this is like, you know, the show Miami Vice?
Yes, it's that era.
So cool.
I know.
I love that. It's
showing so my age.
Is there something in common? Do you have some more ideas producing music?
I think what happened with my last album kind of soured me on that, because it takes so much effort to write music. They're like your children, you know, yeah. And I had a lawyer who was going to help me sell my second album. And she wanted to change a bunch of stuff in it. It was already completed. All the artwork and everything was done. And I dragged my feet and I said, hey, I don't want to change anything. I just need you to help me sell it. And she was kind of mean. She said, listen to this, Howard. This is your album going in my trash can. So,
ooh, this is hard. Okay.
My children went in.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Some people are mean, aren't they?
Hurry. So now we will see. But is there something in common in the future? I mean, you will be on tour again with the Beatles.
Absolutely. That's what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. Mostly. I have another Beatles show that I've been doing in Las Vegas, mm-hmm, as well. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping it can continue when I go back. But right now I'm just enjoying
Hamburg,
playing with you.
Yeah, that's good.
Doing the show.
Actually, this is my last week. I will leave you. Or
how dare you?
On Sunday. Yeah, I know. And you will play in one more week in Hamburg, and then you will move to you will go to Berlin.
Yes.
And play there a gig, the All You Need Is Love show at the Astral Show Theater. And then there's one gig in Detmold, something around August, something then.
16th, yes.
So, and then we will see what happened next year. Howard, this is such a pleasure to chat with you, to have this podcast.
I'm so glad finally were able to do it, Nico.
Do you have some last words?
Well, as far as doing what you love to do, I think the old saying, if you do a job that you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life. Yeah. And that's kind of sums up my life. I've never worked a day in my life. Yes, I have, but it's all in this business. Yes.
You're right. You're totally right. Howie, thank you so much for that talk.
Well, thank you, Nico.
It's always a pleasure. See you on stage in a couple of hours.
That's right.
So maybe get a rest and a coffee or something. I invite you to a coffee. Yeah, some coffee.
Good, let's do it.
And euch da draußen, denkt dran, bleibt zuversichtlich und fröhlich. Confident and cheerful.
So tickt Berlin. Dein Podcast von und mit Nikolai Tegeler.